This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Jeremy Fries. Dr. Jeremy Fries has got one of the most fascinating sort of backgrounds in the business. He's a Mayo Clinic physician, interventional radiologist cardiologist for a very long time. He'll explain to me exactly what he did. He was at Mayo for a long time, then the Harvard Business School, then founded a company. Now he is with Olive, a magnificent firm. And he's going to talk to us about it. He's president of payer strategy at Olive, I think is the current title, but an amazing background from South Dakota to Mayo Clinic as a leading physician, Harvard Business School, and more, an entrepreneur. Jeremy, can you take a moment, introduce yourself, and tell us a bit about your background and about Olive?
Well, thank you, Scott. Absolutely fantastic and delighted and humbled to be here. Thanks for having me. And thanks for the kickoff question. I'm a small town farm kid from South Dakota who went to medical school after my mother was diagnosed with breast cancer and realized that I wanted to help change the world through capitalism. And I come from a family of teachers and entrepreneurs, and it was really my mom's experience that led me into healthcare. No doctors in the family, and chose to go to Mayo. I was very fortunate to be able to spend 18 years there, medical school, surgery, radiology, interventional radiology, and then was on staff for a decade. Absolutely loved the Mayo model, and taking care of patients there, was given the opportunity to do a variety of leadership roles, including helping run our billion-dollar imaging department, to running what we call global business development, and just a fan, you know, I mean, Mayo is a remarkable place and a remarkable leader. And so just really, really fortunate to have that experience in life, recognize that I'm wired like an entrepreneur. And so had the great fortune of being able to step away from Mayo and start a company where we had success, and a little less than a year ago, all during COVID, formed a partnership, and then were acquired by Olive, and thrilled now to be a part of a business that is really having an impact, as we like to say, on both sides of the fax machine, so for both providers and payers. At Olive, we're the automation company trying to create the internet of healthcare and connect providers and payers, automate processes on both sides of the fax machine, frankly, with the end goal of having an impact to remove costs from the system and to make sure that patients get the care they deserve, which is why, you know, me as a physician, I'm so passionate about the payer side. As you're able to have an impact on that side, you really have a dramatic opportunity to have an impact on patients, and that's why I'm excited to show up and do what I do every day.
And so take a moment on sort of the transition from doctor to entrepreneur. And what was that like? What was that like? I mean, it's hard to give up a magnificent medical career which you had. What was that transition like from doctor to entrepreneur?
In some ways, Scott, it's almost... it's the same transition, I think, that so many entrepreneurs go through. And you know, while my experience might be somewhat different, I think there are a lot of similarities. And being an entrepreneur, you know, many would say it's a crazy decision really for anybody to take, to step away from a salary, regardless of what that salary is, you know, for a year or two or longer, because of something that you're just really passionate about. And for me, that's what it was. And I knew that there was this massive problem that I dealt with when I was a clinician that was keeping my patients from getting care that I thought they really needed. And for me, the impetus that I knew this was the problem I really wanted to go tackle, it was when I recognized that the payer ecosystem also felt that this problem of prior authorization utilization management was such a difficult one. And that, you know, having that realization is really what fueled the fire, the problem that I dealt with personally, but then also recognizing that, boy, this is an opportunity that the whole ecosystem could be better. And so, you know, personally, there's you know, you have to have the passion for what you're going to tackle. You need to have a very supportive support system around you, because it is a, you know, it's a massive personal transition, and it's, you know, it's not one that you do alone. You really do, you know, you do it as a family, and you do it as your whole community. And so, you know, I was fortunate to have relationships in the industry that, you know, we could raise capital and we could have conversations to get early customers and do things. And so I just feel very fortunate for all the people around me that supported me in that transition. And, you know, ultimately helped lead to the success that we've had.
And talk about advice for people wanting to have an path for a great career. And then I want to ask you for advice for people wanting to found a company or start a business. But talk for a moment. You had a great career at Mayo. Maybe talk for a moment about somebody wanting to have a great career as a doctor. What advice would you give them? You know, there's so much clinician burnout. There's so many people getting sick of it. You're able to sort of transition from doctor to another role. But you did the being a physician and surgeon or interventionist for a long time, did it well. What advice do you give to doctors? And then what advice do you give to business founders?
Oh, that's a great question, Scott. The journey is never over, and you have to enjoy the journey. There's such a perception, and you're right, physician burnout is a massive problem that we have in this country. It was a problem before COVID. It's even more so today. And we as clinicians, as physicians are, you know, we sort of led to believe that you do these steps, you do med school, you do your internship, your residency, whatever, and then you get out on the other side and life's going to be great. You start making money. You can pay off your debt. It's viewed as sort of the end. And then you get there and you realize that it's not, there's a, like any career, any profession, there continue to be transitions. And the advice that I would give my residents is choose your, and frankly, I think it's the same thing is true for choosing your business or what you're going to work on. Choose your practice, choose your partners, choose your business based on the people that you want to go into battle with, because what the battle is going to change over time. You know, but the people that you work with, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert or no matter what the job is, such a huge impact on what you do on a day-to-day basis. And frankly, the joy that you can get from what you're doing on a day-to-day basis. And so, you know, to me, that was always more important about who I worked with and where I worked rather than in many ways, the sort of day-to-day things. And you have to, you know, I think it's true for most professionals, but it was definitely true for me in my practice career. It was really important to have the part of the practice that I really loved, but then to also have another shiny object or two that you're working on. So in academic medicine, it could be teaching, it could be research. But you really need to have something else that you're passionate about. And I think that same thing is true on, you know, in choosing the entrepreneurial journey. And I talked about, you know, how I chose what I was passionate about. It's not something that you can find easily. It really takes time and thought into it. And for me, it's about choosing the people that you work with. And the rule that I had was my Thanksgiving rule, which is this someone that I'd want to have over to my house for Thanksgiving dinner with my wife and four kids? If the answer is yes, that's a pretty high bar and a pretty good metric for helping make decisions about who you work with.
A couple of fascinating things there. One is choosing the people you work with is so, so important. Everything you do is that both you enjoy them, you thrive from them, you learn from them, you grow with them, but they're good people. And you also said something about the shiny object concept. And you said it actually in a good way, not a bad way. But then in addition to your core job, which you got to spend X percent, 80% of your time, 90% of your time doing fantastic in your core job. But then you also have to be doing other things that interest you. You know, and that concept of other things that interest you, and I see so much, like the most burnt out clinicians and physicians, and obviously this is an unusual time with COVID-19, but even before it, we're often those that just grinded through on just that, you know, a primary care physician seeing 20, 30 patients a day for 30 years, you can't help but be burnt out. I mean, in many fields, it's just not in that, but a knee guy doing or a knee woman doing just tons of knees makes a great living, tons of them. But at some point for 30 years, you know, that's just hard to keep on doing. But this concept of 80% of your time or whatever percentage doing magnificent, your core job, then looking at what else interests you. Is it research? Is it this? Is it extracurriculars? Is it volunteer activities? Is it being in charities? Whatever it is, but something in addition to your core job to keep life balanced and interesting, I think is so, so important. Dr. Freese, one other question. You've also become this extraordinary entrepreneur. Any advice for people that want to be entrepreneurs, for founders, et cetera?
I want to poke a little bit, Scott, on this concept of having another shining object, and I think it gets into answering your question. You know, one of the things, and it comes back to your earlier question too, golden handcuffs are really difficult to break. And so, you know, if you situate your life and your finances in such a way that, yeah, you're making a great living and you need to have every dollar of that great living to continue to do, you're not going to be able to carve out a little bit of time to do, you know, to do whatever else it is that you can find joy in, either professionally or non-professionally. And so one of the things that I think an entrepreneur or someone that wants to be an entrepreneur needs to be able to do, frankly, is be able to manage their finances in such a way that you can start to plan for that breakaway, from that salary that you might be used to. And it allows you, you know, that's what frankly allows you to explore some of these other things. So, you know, for me, that exploration meant doing some angel investing or doing some advising for some startups. It was really through that work that I realized, yes, you know, this is absolutely how I want to have an impact professionally. And so then, you know, I had the conviction to be able to say, this is what I want to do. And so I'd say that the advice for folks that want to be an entrepreneur, one, work with people that you want to work with. Absolutely, you have to build a team around you of complementary skill sets and experiences. And that sounds cliche, but it could not be more true. And one of the problems I think that physicians tend to have is this perception that we're smart, we can do it all. We've generally been a lone wolf in most of our clinical career. And so that concept of team is so critically important. And allow yourself the bandwidth to try other things that are outside of your, you know, outside of your wheelhouse so that you can really get that conviction to, you know, to jump on whatever opportunity then ends up presenting itself. And it also doesn't need to be your idea. A lot, you know, there's no shortage of ideas in healthcare that come from all different areas. And just network and spend time with as many people that are outside of your particular area so that you that helps both build the team, but also build the ideas and you understand really what you're passionate about. And so that exploration is a really critical component, I think. And, you know, for me, that was a several year process.
Yeah, no, I think that's a brilliant sort of perspective on it. This open mind concept. And also this concept of most things, if we do anything serious, require a team, not just an individual. And that's different than sometimes being a core physician who might have operated as a lone wolf or a direct, provider. But things require a team, and so true. Dr. Freese, I want to thank you for joining us today in the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. It's always just a pleasure to visit with you. Just a remarkable career. And thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure, Scott. Thank you, and best wishes. Stay safe, all.